All right, guys, and we're back today, well, for our second segment
second
of today's...
Lunchtime segment.
We're going to be talking about the return of Jesus. Now, so, like, this is when you sell all your stocks. This is when you, like, the Antichrist is coming. Haha, I get it, because we just talked about that. So now I start liquidating my assets, getting all those things ready. Everything's
just
getting burned
down anyway. I made that mistake once in 2004. Won't do that again.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. I've told this story on Rapture Radio before, I believe.
You sold all your... That's right. You sold all your retirement plan.
I have been systematically saving since 18 years old. I would currently be a millionaire. And dispensationalism has made me poor.
Ruined your retirement.
Yes. So, a man of zeal.
That's fantastic.
I've always been a man of zeal. Not always of knowledge, though. Not always of knowledge.
At least you've got that going for you.
Hey, you know what else should a 20-something-year-old do when he first hears about, you know, the deep truths of Scripture?
Liquidate everything.
But sell all of his stock. Right?
That's fantastic.
I bought a car, a depreciating asset. Not smart.
You sold all your investments and bought a car.
A Mercury.
I wonder how much of your investments were in things like Apple. Oh, man. You'd
probably
be like
a lot.
Billionaire, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Or GameStop. Oh, wow. Yeah. So, yes, the question of when will Jesus return? That's a big one.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other day I was perusing YouTube.
Ooh.
I saw that Glenn Beck made a prediction.
No, he didn't.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What did Glenn
Beck
say?
He's always struck me as an odd fellow. Yeah, he made a prediction of Jesus' soon coming return. Return within the next, you know, I don't know. I can't remember exactly what he said, by 2035 or something like that.
I don't understand.
Hey, have you not been paying attention to the news? When is God going to come and help us escape from this?
And fix all these problems. No. I don't even.
He's not leaving it up to us. Is
Glenn Beck a Christian?
I think he's a Mormon.
Oh.
But are we living in the last days? Should we begin the countdown? Put the countdown ticker on the screen. Countdown to Armageddon.
One. Oh, my gosh. That would be fantastic.
My preacher back when I was younger, he used to always say, "Hey, guys, I don't know if y'all have been watching the news lately, but I wouldn't buy no green bananas."
I wonder at what point you hear somebody say that and you're like, okay.
It took me a while to understand what it meant. But I get it now. You see, but think about the psychological effect that it has on someone.
Mm.
Why
you're
go to college?
You're perpetually waiting for
why train?
To burn down. Yeah.
Why spend 20 years mastering an art?
Right. Why try to build something?
Why even have children?
Dang.
Why anything? Why exercise Christ-like dominion over all of life, extending his kingdom? Why obey? It would be better just to sit back, watch the news, troll the mainstream narrative, scream at the commentators.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than getting up and exercising dominion.
And doing
being
something.
Fruitful, multiplying, subduing the earth, preaching the gospel, making disciples of all nations.
Preach it.
You see, this apocalyptic worldview is enticing, especially enticing to passive men.
Well, let's trap the church. Why bother doing anything? What should I do? There's nothing, no work to really be accomplished. I'm just going to sit here.
Soon and very soon. You remember that one?
I do remember that.
Hey,
oh, man.
This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. And any minute now,
Josh,
soon and very soon, we are going to see the king.
Josh Leslie asked in the comments, if he's coming back soon, can we all just stop paying our mortgage? They can't take us all at once, Josh.
I think the president already said you don't have to, though, right?
Do what?
Do you even have to these days, though? I mean, really? I'm sure there's some bill you can get out of it.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Look, Christians today who are misinformed by this false teaching, really, of the any minute now. Any minute now. Mm-hmm. You know, look at the newspapers. You can tell it's coming any minute. This apocalyptic worldview.
It freezes you.
It really does. It's
you.
A false worldview. It's a false paradigm. Mm-hmm. And they live under this constant shadow of the end of human history.
Mm-hmm.
And it really can be a demoralizing effect.
Right. Absolutely.
It on one hand, you might think of it as like, oh, man, you know, oh, one day he's going to come. He's going to save us. And we're going to finally be taken out of here. And he's going to finally provide us that escape that he's always promised.
Mm.
But he hadn't promised us escape.
Mm.
He's promised us victory.
Amen.
So,
say it again.
There's so much to talk about
say
here.
It again.
But when the world starts shaking, Christians always start selling stock, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. Cashing out, retreating even further.
Yeah.
We don't need, when the world is shaking, it is so that that which cannot be shaken might be demonstrated.
Oh.
That is our cue to advance.
Mm-hmm.
Not our cue to retreat and hide and bite our nails.
Mm-hmm.
That is our cue to advance.
Amen.
If we resist the devil, he will flee from us.
Amen.
But if we have a strategy of not resisting him, because why bother any day now?
Right.
Then he will not flee from us.
Right.
We will flee from him.
Right. Right.
See, the scholars say that nothing else needs to happen before Jesus returns. It could be any minute. But you know what they also say at the very same time?
What?
That the temple needs to be rebuilt.
Oh, yeah.
Or that the Antichrist needs to come.
Yeah, that's right.
So they're constantly the very same people that say any minute now, any second now, secret rapture, no signs, no one's going to know when it's going to happen, are also the very same people who are perpetually looking for signs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, which is it? Can't be both.
Right. That's right. That's right.
I remember during the Persian Gulf War, everyone was thinking Saddam Hussein was the Antichrist and he was going to rebuild Babylon. And with a rebuild Babylon, finally we would have the key to understanding the book of Revelation. But the Bible tells us clearly what Babylon is in the book of Revelation. That city in which our Lord was crucified, Jerusalem. It's symbolic. It's typological.
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this is all. We bring up all of this stuff. So because we want to ask the hard question, when is he going to return?
Right. Well, it's an important, pertinent question for anybody who believes in Jesus, because one day he will.
Yes.
So when?
The Bible even tells us that as he ascended into the clouds, the angels appeared to the disciples, and they said that he will return in like manner.
Mm.
There will be a physical, bodily return of Jesus Christ,
right.
And he will touch down, right, on right. planet Earth. We will be, when he returns, caught up together with him to meet him in the clouds, those who are alive,
mm-hmm.
and those who are dead will be raised up.
Right.
That's right, raised up. The dead in Christ, or those who are Christians, the sheep will be introduced into the kingdom of God in its full consummation to live with Christ forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are of the goats,
mm-hmm.
who rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, will be cast into eternal darkness and eternal punishment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen at some point in the future. But when is it going to happen? And the answer is, not at any moment.
Come on, man.
The unknown distant future.
Mm.
How distant? Unknown.
Somewhere out there.
That's right. But we are not to live under this psychological pressure at any second now.
Any moment.
You see, in Matthew chapter 25, it gives a parable of the kingdom.
Okay.
There's wise virgins who prepare for his coming.
Mm.
The foolish ones don't prepare, and the reason they don't prepare is because they expect him at any moment.
Oh, dang.
We have to consider this very carefully. It's the expectation of any moment return that leads to us not advancing, not extending his claims over all of life,
not
being fruitful and multiplying and waiting for his covenantal promises to go throughout all of human history to 1,000 generations.
Mm.
Why start a Christian school?
Right.
Why build a sanctuary that will last for 4, 5, 6 generations?
Right. Right.
Why? Why any of these things? Live, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we are raptured.
Well, don't drink. That's
Jesus turned water into wine. We keep saying this.
I like to keep coming back here.
In Acts chapter 1.
There is a keg behind you.
No, sir. We're in a warehouse here.
The bunker, as Josh Leslie calls it.
Undisclosed.
Undisclosed location. We've been forced into the catacombs.
Let me just throw out a few other things here.
All right, go.
In Acts chapter 1. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? What does Jesus say? It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put under his authority. The parable of the mustard seed. Does it imply long, extended period of time? Or, were the disciples actually thinking it could be any second?
Hmm.
It implies
a long time.
Long duration of time.
Right.
The leaven going out throughout the loaf. None of the disciples were thinking any second now. Human history is about to be done with. None of them were thinking that.
Mm.
Imagine being given the Great Commission to go to all the nations.
And then hearing right behind it, well, But he's coming back like any second now.
Any second now. So that they go out to the rest of the churches and say, the hour has come. The last hour is here.
Mm.
No, they're not confused.
Right.
The Bible has a imminent judgment coming down on Jerusalem.
Right.
By Jesus that it talks about quite a bit. But that judgment on Jerusalem is pointing to a future, far off in the distant, final judgment of all of human history, of all of earth.
Mm.
And we don't know when that's going to take place.
Mm.
It is after an extended duration of time.
Mm.
Right. In 2 Peter 3, we learn that God's patience in delaying the final judgment is long-suffering, patient. Right. So, some expect him any minute. Others don't expect him any minute, but expect him at an unknown future time after a long duration of time, the gospel going out to the nations, the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our Lord. To what extent, we don't know exactly to what extent.
Right.
Right. But then there's others, and these are good folk, but they believe both of those things.
Okay.
You see, this is a quote that I picked up. It says this: some passages emphasize the soonness of Christ's coming. Others suggest something of a delayed or considerable period of time intervening.
Hmm.
Which is it? Right? Some people really do believe that the Bible says both. Okay. And they really do believe that when it comes to the final coming of Christ, the end of human history, we need to live as though any second and also live as though it's going to be after a long period of time. But the Bible does not say it's going to be at any second.
Hmm.
The Bible says no one knows.
Right.
Okay, let's just leave it there.
Right.
Okay. In fact, it implies, though, with the Great Commission, with the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the sower and many other things, that there will be times and seasons, a long duration of time as the gospel permeates all of earth, as the blessings flow as far as the curse might be found.
Mm.
That is what it is implying. Now, if Jesus wants to return today, I'm not going to complain. Right? It's his prerogative.
That's right. He can do what he wants. He's the boss.
Yes.
He's in charge.
But the reality is this: of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels. We aren't waiting for an antichrist, right?
Right.
Scripture foretells a long period of duration where the gospel will advance by the church over the nations, but it doesn't tell us the full extent of that duration, not explicitly.
Yeah.
So there you have it. When is Jesus returning? I don't know.
What a profound statement.
but be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth.
That's right.
Subdue the earth.
Move out, build kingdoms.
Fulfill the Great Commission.
That's right.
Go, baptize, make disciples of all nations. Start with your kids first.
Amen.
Have kids first.
Amen.
Then disciple them, right?
Focus on what's going on around you and change there.
Amen. Don't sit around on the couch with no bananas.
Stagnation is not what we need in the church anymore. We've been sitting idle for too long.
Yeah, we've been abdicating.
Amen.
And the devil has filled the void. It's time to advance.
Amen. Amen, amen. Guys, thank you again so much for joining with us today as we talked about who the Antichrist is and when Jesus is coming. And if you're looking for more resources from Christ Church, you can go to wearechristchurch.com/media, or you can go to sermonaudio.com and search We Are Christ Church, all one word. You can also email me, Stuart, S-T-U-A-R-T, at wearechristchurch.com for any additional questions or any other resources that you might be looking for, and we'd be happy to point you in that direction. Guys, thank you so much for joining us, and we will see y'all next time.